Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Maddie Walsh. Walsh is a graduate of SUNY Binghamton and CSU Sacramento, where she studied poetry and creative nonfiction. She is the co-founder, lead singer, and songwriter for Ithaca's great moxie rock band, The Blind Spots. She has released one solo album and three indie pop rock albums with The Blind Spots. Her poetry and essays have been published in various literary journals and magazines, and we'll share excerpts from The Blind Spots' debut CD, El Camino Dream, and their most recent Rhizomatic. And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Now, you describe your family as artsy, hard-drinking, left-wing, but were they also singers and artists in the way that you are?
Yes. So my dad is one of seven, and I think six out of the seven ended up with musical ability. There's one brother who doesn't really sing or play any instruments.
He's the black sheep, right?
Yeah. Everybody is artistic and plays at least a few instruments, and everyone sings.
So you heard all this as a kid growing up. You were influenced by the music. So you studied poetry and creative writing. Did you think you were going to be a traditional writer, like a novelist?
When I was a child, I really thought that I was headed down that path, but I always wanted to sing, but at a certain point, I decided that I would try to get together a very elaborate backup plan for myself should music not work out. And so I went directly to college right after high school, moved on right from my bachelor's degree to get a master's. And then I had sort of a freak out moment about 6 months from getting my degree where I was like, Dad, I really think I'm supposed to be doing music. And I've sort of put it on the back burner to get this backup plan in order, but like I'm supposed to be doing music full time. And so because he's super supportive and also a musician, just told me to go for it.
Wow, how nice that you got that kind of encouragement.
Yeah, not everybody gets to have that from their folks. So
do you remember when you started transitioning and then actually writing music and singing and trying to make it public?
I was always singing, but I wasn't always writing songs. I was writing a lot of poetry and creative nonfiction, but I wasn't writing songs until maybe I was like 22 or 23. In grad school. All I wanted for my 16th birthday was an acoustic guitar. And as it turns out, playing guitar is really hard, so I didn't learn how to play it until I moved across the country and was in school full-time and had two internships and a part-time job and super busy. So I didn't make a lot of friends for the first like year or so when I was there, but I did have a guitar. So I started to pick that up when I was home, just as something to do. And my dad told me to keep it in a stand all the time so that it's just out and you're staring at it. And that's when I finally started to play a bit.
And then you started writing. Were you writing mainly about your life and angst and love songs like young people do in the early days?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I had been writing poetry for so long, and I sort of resist the urge to write about love and heartbreak because it's such a common thing women especially get pigeonholed as being torch singers. You know, they're only driven to write because they feel such impassioned things. And so actually one of my very first songs was called Jessie, and it was about a good friend of mine who's sort of a tragic character at the time. She's doing much better now. And then I wrote a song about being on a hot air balloon. It's like my second song I ever wrote. And it ended up on my solo album and then on the Blind Spots first record, too. I sort of resisted that.
That's really, really brave of you, I think, because almost everybody I've talked to says they started out writing love poems just because that was all that was in the atmosphere.
Right. That's the, that urgency, that sense of immediacy, and that's what pushes people to write at all sometimes. And certainly I have been there, too. But because I was so steeped in a community of writers all the time in grad school, I was surrounded by other people. I was workshopping poems all the time. Mm. And so I was, I really kind of strongly resisted the urge to just write about love and heartbreak, even though I was totally heartbroken and lonely while I was in California.
Let's play an excerpt from the Blind Spots most recent album, Rhizomatic. This one's called Fracture Fusion. You want to tell us a little bit about it before we hear it?
Sure. So my husband, Mike Suave, is the co-founder and co-writer of The Blind Spots with me. And we work on songs. Usually he will write music and often like several different parts of the music, and I write lyrics and melody. But this song was prompted by his sister was diagnosed with breast cancer, and we wanted to write something together that was uplifting. So I would credit the lyrics much more to him than in most of our songs, actually. I wrote a bunch of it, too, but I think he came up with the chorus because it was so personal.
Let's listen to a bit of it. Fracture Fusion. You know, you say that it was uplifting. I found it really haunting.
Oh, really?
I find it kind of a haunting song.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I guess the uplifting part is the outro, the whole big outro. I had a chorus of my family singing with me. And so it's like family members. And the idea, just that repetition of love and music being sort of the only things that can pull you through certain moments.
Yeah, I did find it haunting. So do you always collaborate with your husband on your songs, or are some of them mainly you?
I have some that are just me, but at this point we really have played off of each other's strengths, and we've become a really powerful songwriting combo. Like, I feel like I sort of stopped playing guitar when I met him because he had already been doing it for 20 plus years, uh-huh. and he was so good and he could get things across that I couldn't. And same with my writing. I had been spending so much time doing that, writing and singing. So when it came together, it's like whether we act as each other's crutch or we're actually playing off of each other's strengths, however you want to look at it.
I would say strength.
Yeah, I
hope so.
From
what I've heard from his music, it's great.
Yeah.
And it's so diverse.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the moods and the lyrics and everything's very different. Do you still write poetry? Because it's an entirely different venue, obviously, mm-hmm. than songwriting. To tell us about that. Is it separate?
I don't find it to be separate, and I've pretty much shifted into songwriting. So if I'm writing poetic-type things, they're usually going to turn into songs, but I really do like to write prose, too, and that's sort of its own thing. But I borrow from myself all the time. If there's a line that I really liked in a prose piece that I wrote, then I'll just steal it and put it in a song.
So you're combining the two. It's almost the same creative urge.
Yeah, I think so. I never thought about rhyme scheme that much when I was writing poetry. I was much more of the Walt Whitman school of poetry than the Emily Dickinson, if we're talking about that era. And just that I love sprawling lines of imagery and not thinking as much about the terseness and the like meter. I had a really wonderful professor at CSU Sacramento who was all about metric poetry. Mm. And he taught me a lot, and I learned a lot of cool things about off-rhyme. I always tend toward off-rhymes as opposed to things that are very exact and use consonants and assonance a lot more than I used to because of him. But I think that's what made songwriting different for me. It was like, oh, now this has to be poetry. Everything has to sort of line up in order to make lines fit and in order to end things out in sort of a tidy way. We have to have some sort of rhyme in there.
Yeah.
It's not a rule, but it's something that I abide by here and there because it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I would say rhythm more than rhyme,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
What you're talking about, yeah. Let's play another cut from the latest CD, Rhizomatic. This one's called Private Parade. Tell us about it.
This one was one that was written, I think, primarily. We have a small handful of songs, the Blind Spots do, that have been written in the room with everybody present, and I think this is one of them. They usually still will start with some riff that Suave has been working with. I honestly can't remember if that's how this began, but I remember where we were when we worked on this a bunch. My bass player had a house out in the country for a little while, and we cleared out the living room and worked on this all day. And it was basically intended to be a fun song about taking the reins.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. Let's listen to it. Private Parade.
Wallflowers wear, but I'll take get, you know, it feels like you're strutting.
Yeah.
You know, ready for anything.
Yeah.
I'll take it. The day is beautiful. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are your influences? I mean, it almost seems like you can tell Joplin and some of the rock women from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I would say vocally, I would point to a lot of those women. But as far as songwriting goes, I'm all over the place. And when I was younger, I probably would have just given you the stock Bob Dylan answer because it would have been true and still is. But I find that the longer I do this as a career, songwriting and being a traveling performer, the less, I don't want to say discerning because it's not that at all, but I've started to listen to a little bit of absolutely everything.
Mm.
I used to be like, before the Blind Spots, I was pretty much Americana roots music, very folky. I really liked bluegrass and a lot of organic string sounds, hand drums. I didn't even want electric bass on my solo album.
Ah.
And so when I met Suave, things changed a lot, and he really opened up my perspective to all these different kinds of music. He could listen to a really polished pop country song and be like, check out that bass line, though. That's pretty great. And so I started to dissect songs in that way, and then I really have garnered an appreciation for all different genres at this point. So to pinpoint, like, you know, some days I might be like, I'm like, right now I'm really inspired by St. Vincent's new album. She just dropped one called Mass Seduction, and I can't get enough of it. But, you know, like last week I could have just been digging back into Tom Petty after he passed and really enjoying that catalog that was so much a part of my youth. So I reserve the right to be inspired by all music.
By everything.
And it could change in 5 minutes, you know. Some days it's AC/DC and some days it's Regina Spektor, you know.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Maddie Walsh. She is the lead singer, co-founder, and songwriter for Ithaca's wonderful moxie rock band, the Blind Spots. I wanted to ask you this, too, because, you know, so many rock women from my era and older lost their voices. How do you protect your voice? Do you do anything to maintain?
Sometimes. I actually have found that my voice is the strongest when I'm singing every day. And there are periods of time where I've taken breaks where the band isn't on tour, and then I go to jump into the rehearsal room and I lose my voice that night. And it, like, you know, so it's a muscle like anything else. And I do have some go-to tricks. I have some specialty that I like. One of our fans, this wonderful woman, Kate Young, is from China, and she gave me these beautiful little, they're like these nuts almost, and you put them in water and they puff up to this big gelatinous weird looking thing. I think it's called a cow fruit or something like that. So I've tried those here and there. You just soak them in water and drink the water.
It's supposed to be good for your voice.
For your throat specifically. I actually just have something in my purse right now that a friend of mine in Tallahassee just told me about. It's called Singer's Throat or something. It's the natural formula. It's a bunch of different herbs, and you spray it in the back of your throat. And these are just little remedies, but ultimately, for me, it's about getting sleep. Unfortunately, not partying as hard as my band members can sometimes. I have to go to bed and get some sleep because I'm the only one who has an instrument that's coming directly out of her body. Everybody else has a medium that they're playing through.
They just have to protect their fingers, right?
Their fingers, and, you know.
So you're not from the Billie Holiday school of sitting there recording with a glass of whiskey and a cigarette in one hand,
I've
right?
I've done it, and I'm not saying I wouldn't again, but also I've blown my voice out enough times to know that there are certain things I have to do to just regularly maintain. But people ask me that a lot, and I think overuse, at least thus far, hasn't become a problem for me. It's like when I'm in regular practice and I'm using my voice properly, it tends to work better. But I don't know, ask me that in 15 years and I might have a different answer.
I want to play an excerpt from your 2010, the debut album of The Blind Spots. It's called El Camino Dream. This one's called Break This Pace. Tell us about it. And is it a different style back then? It almost feels like it was.
Yeah, I think it was. And this is a pretty straight ahead song. There isn't much in the way of complicated arranging or anything like that. Suave and I, my husband and co-writer and the guitar player, we were just bandmates back then in the very beginning, and I was complaining to him about how exhausted I was and I didn't have enough time. I was working two different day jobs and I just didn't have enough time for songwriting and creative things, and he was like, well, why don't you write a song about it? And so I went home and I wrote a song about it, and then we started playing it with the band.
So let's listen to Break This Pace from El Camino Dream, their debut album. I wanna light it up today. Gotta bring my Yeah, you know what? This feels more country influence for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Americana for sure. I don't think I ever, when I was that age or younger, I wouldn't say I actually listened to a lot of country unless you consider Alison Krauss and Gillian Welch and, you know.
Well, I think of Emmylou Harris, but she's not really pure country.
Yeah, I guess, you know, a bit of that, too. I love Emmylou. Yeah, I think for certain, you know, even when the Blind Spot started, I wanted it to be much more acoustic. I was totally taken aback when we had a full drum kit in for the first time. was not ready at all. But then I really warmed up to it. And then after I warmed up to it, it got to be like the most fun thing I had ever done musically and totally freeing. I had told myself I was limited as a singer, that I could only do so much, and that I'm a folk singer, and this is what I can do, and I sing softly. And once we had a drum kit, Suave was like, well, just throw it out there and see what happens. And it was so fun. And he was like, sorry, but you're not a folk singer.
You changed your whole persona, probably, right? I mean, you look like a rock woman in the videos I've
seen. I felt freed up, for sure. Yeah. And it was just having so much fun. And it didn't have to be this, I guess, when you steep yourself in one particular genre, you become really... it becomes so specific, and you really there's a paradigm there, like parameters to what you can do and how much you can get outside of it. And I felt really like this was it, but then the Blind Spots just felt so much more experimental, and I could try weird things with my voice. I could do all these backing parts that I wasn't really thinking about before, and because it's, you know, my band, we can do whatever we want. It's not like we sort of do have a brand. The Moxie Rock thing has been our thing, but also we've done some really sweet ballady stuff too. I feel like there's just room to expand.
Just to be yourself, I would say. Yeah,
right.
Experiment with who you might be, actually.
Right.
But I want to ask you this too. You're a beloved band here regionally. People love you. I've heard people talking about you, and I know people go see you.
Nice.
Well, what was it like to expand out and go? I know you've been to Colorado and Texas, and you've been on tour in different places. What kind of reception do you get? Is it kind of scary at first?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Mm. It's completely humbling. And
really?
Any musician who embarks on a touring career, they'll explain to you. I mean, it's really jarring for fans of ours if they just so happen to be in Denver sometime when we're playing Denver. Like, where are all the people? Like,
oh, really?
You guys are here. You should, you know. But we've only been doing this. Let's see, we've been touring for like 3.5 years now, around there, I think. And we've done several tours up and down the East Coast. We've only gone all the way cross country twice. And then one time we've gone as far as Colorado, Texas, New Mexico, and then home. So it's like you start to see things turn over. You start to see return people and faces and stuff. But we're still completely independent, which means that we don't have all this muscle and finances behind us to make sure that every media outlet has been hit before we come. We don't have all this pre-roll. If we do, if we're doing our job, we have, but it's still coming from us. So, Tuesday night in a town that we've never played before, we don't expect a whole lot. And it is a very humbling thing, and an incredibly hard life if you expect it to be easy.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Oh, God, the energy. And then the energy without an audience must be, you know, I know it's probably humbling, but it's probably really deflating.
It can be, absolutely. I've gotten way better at it. The first couple tours, I was like, I don't know if my heart can handle this, you know, because you just put your whole self out there and these songs that you've written. And if there's no energy reciprocation from the audience, then it's harder to put it out there. And if it's several nights in a row like that, it's just a really good thing that you love your bandmates because you can turn inward and just still have fun. As hard as this life is, I'm still singing every day. That's like what's at the pit of this whole thing. So, well, that feels great.
I want to play a final cut from the debut album, El Camino Dream. This one's called We're Fine. To tell us about it, this is a really touching personal song.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes I hate to describe things too in detail because that takes people's own perceptions and what they see in themselves out of it. But it is, there are some very specific details in there. So when Suave and I first got together and we were bandmates, a lot of people were surprised because we'd sort of prided ourselves on the fact that we were spending time creatively together and as friends. And there were some hurt feelings and some anger. He had already moved in to my apartment, and I was trying to fall asleep, and I was just, you know, all these thoughts of people being so hurt and angry by our choosing to be together were swirling around, and I got up, and I took his very nice Martin guitar into our office, and I wrote that song. It was probably 2 or 3 in the morning, and I didn't wake him up. I told him about it in the morning, and he was pretty psyched, so we started playing it together.
Let's listen to a bit of it. We're fine. I find it really touching. It's a really beautiful song, Maddie. Is it one that you wrote most of the lyrics to?
I did. I wrote the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. He didn't help you polish
or anything? Not with this one. When we went to record it, he has some really beautiful guitar lines in there that I think kind of made the song. But, I wrote this one.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time. To tell us a little bit about your blog. I know you have written essays and published poetry. Tell mm-hmm. us about the blog. Can we see some of your writing on that?
Yeah, you can. I should be much more diligent than I am. I initially started it because when we were touring, I thrive so much on movement, and I love to see different things out the window all the time. And meeting different people, I was just super inspired, and I thought, I'll just be writing about this all the time. But then you realize it's really hard to carve out time for yourself when you're in a van with 4 other people. And also, I get nauseous when the van is in motion. So writing is not, like, the easiest thing in the world for me to do. So you really have to find some quiet time when you're in a place, you know, or staying with friends for a couple days or something and go off on your own. So I wish that there was more material up there, but it's tough to stay with it when you're out there.
There is some material. People can read some of your writing. That's great. Mm-hmm. Any kind of writing, just keep writing. I think your writing is beautiful.
Thank you very much.
I'm really, really thrilled when I see women going after their dreams like
this.
Thank
you. Yeah. That's wonderful to hear.
Let's give some contact information, how they can get in touch with your blog. What's the blog name?
The blog is madmoxie@blogspot.com. I think it's Mad Moxie's Dreamer Parade. You could probably Google that. I don't know what the exact address is. The Blind Spots website is theblindspots.com. And there's contact information on there if people would like to reach out to us about things like songwriting or booking or whatever.
That's great.
I regularly check info@theblindspots.com, and I try to respond to people as quickly as I can.
Well, great. Well, Maddie Walsh, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great pleasure to have you on and share your
thank
music.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outoboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.